Time now for Junior Hockey Talk on Lake 88.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's edition of Junior Hockey Talk. Grant Demme alongside Terry Shea once again. How's it going, Terry?
It's good, and it's Junior A week, and wow, are the two teams that we cover really would like to forget last week, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots to discuss, lots to break down. We'll start it off, as always, with Pat Malloy, head coach and GM of the Smiths Falls Bears. How's it going, Pat?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good. I guess there's an old saying, Pat, you're never as good when you're at your best, and you're never as bad as you are when you're at your worst. Somewhere in between, I think, lies the real Smiths Falls Bears, the team that was, you know, 12-0 out of the gate, or the team that hasn't been able to put the puck in the net for the last 2 weeks. Which team is this, do you believe?
Yeah, you nailed it on the head. You're never as good as you think and never as bad as you think. We certainly aren't, you know, happy with how we've played. That's shame on us. I mean, I guess I'd be a little more concerned if we weren't getting chances, but we're still generating chances at a high rate. But now it's just an issue of buckling down and not getting away from the things that make us successful.
That's one skill that I think is almost impossible to teach. There are certain things that are, you know, God-given talents, and I think one of them is a hockey goal scorer. Some people just can, you know, walk into that area between the hash marks and do a little bit of a, you know, a slip and a slide and maybe a toe drag and hit the top corner and it looks real easy. It's never that easy. You know, maybe we were a little spoiled with seeing Sean James do it last year and maybe not being able to see something like that this year.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly don't have the same level of easy offense, if you will, that we've had in the past. But, you know, for us, it's really shame on us, allowing teams to hang around and getting away from manufacturing offense, which we've been really good at for a couple of years. So it's really on the guys to not get too ahead of themselves and recognize process equals results. And, you know, I think over the course of the last week or two, maybe they started reading their own press a little bit and thinking maybe they're a little bit better than they were, and some of the things you got to do every night got away from.
True, when you get into these kind of situations, sometimes the way to break out of it is just kind of, you know, and this is the oldest cliche in the book, you know, get pucks to the net, get a couple of ugly ones, you know, take away the goalie's eyes, set up some screens, you know, The 60-footer through four or five sets of legs is worth the same amount as that 201 on the top corner. So you think it's necessary that maybe you have to get a little greasy to get a couple here?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, I look back at the Pembroke game. They really had no business being in the game with us, except they had a goaltender that stood on his head. And I mean, we allowed them to hang around and not make it hard for him, not getting into the greasy areas and taking his eyes and doing some of those things, and that's what you get. They've got a great goaltender up there, and he made us pay, and you know, I look at the Kempo game, not a lot different. I mean, just kind of let him hang around and did some things from the perimeter that, you know, just don't work in this league, and so it's a good opportunity for our guys to learn and to recognize there's one right way, and if you try to cheat the game, boy, oh boy, does it ever come back to get you.
With that said, you can't be disappointed with your defensive play, and you certainly can't be disappointed with your goaltending. I mean, you're, you know, playing at a goals against average at or below three, which is unheard of in junior hockey, and the LeBray kid has been, on a lot of nights, your best player. You just got to be able to maybe close the circle at the other end.
Yeah, I mean, we made a real commitment to try to play a structured way this year, recognizing, you know, what we needed to do with this group in order to be successful. And, you know, there's not many nights we're outshot. We take pride in that. And, you know, we certainly had goaltending on most nights to give you a chance to win. I don't think, I don't think maybe the Pembroke game was our best effort in terms of our goaltending. I think he sets the bar a little higher for himself than that. But, you know, at the end of the day, that'll give you a chance to win. And so, you know, that's where it's important that we recognize, you know, not cheating the game and not getting outside the game. Playing on the inside, getting into the fabric of the game is really important, especially when, you know, a goaltender's having a night against you or they're kind of hanging around. It's important to do the right things at the right times.
In a perfect summation of what cruel of a hockey game this is a couple weeks ago I asked you when you were number one in the CJHL rankings if it was getting into the locker room a little bit, you know, the, as you said earlier, the guys maybe reading their own press, and now I'm asking, as you're, you know, scoring once in four of your last five games, is this happening again? Is it, what's the room like? What's the temperature?
I think it's early enough that, and our verbiage is the same. I mean, you're never as good as you think, and you're never as bad as you think. And Terry put it great. You're somewhere in between, and you know each night's a new opportunity. So, you know, if these kids are reading their own press, shame on them. But the game stops for no one, and as I said, it'll humble everyone. You've got to play hard. You've got to play the right way every night. This is a really good league, and there's a lot of really good teams. And if you cheat the game or you think that, you know, you can get away with anything less than your best and have sustained success, then you're going to find out in a hurry. And that's exactly what we've done, is you get away from the things that make you successful and pay a price. Being all over the place in terms of lineup, in terms of ice time, and in terms of your place in the standings. So it's got to be an everyday thing. And that, I think that's why kids play in this league and you know, especially the ones trying to move on. It's our job to make sure they know consistency is vital if you're trying to take a withdrawal from the game and earn a scholarship to play at the next level. You know, the deposits into the game have got to out, you've got to outreach what you're looking to withdraw, and if you cheat that, that ledger will humble you quickly.
One last question. You move some guys around. You move sets of wingers in with different centermen, and, you know, you're pretty strong down the middle. I think most people think that both, you know, both or all three of your centers are good, you know, good 200-foot players. Have you seen any effect by changing your wingers around? You know, I saw you had the two kids, you know, with Fauché for a while after they'd been with Hamady. It's just kind of you throw them in the blender and see what comes out kind of deal, or you have specific ideas why you're making these changes?
You're just trying to see if there's different chemistry in cases. You know, when you talk about the young guys, that's the difference between an established junior player and young guys. It's just that consistency. And, you know, sometimes it's to try to get something going and to see if there's chemistry. Sometimes it's to send a little message to try to get some more out of some guys. And sometimes it's, you know, illness or injury that dictates it. So there's been a bunch of those different reasons, and you know, somewhere in there lies the right combination.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Pat, and good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it, guys.
Well, you've got to wonder when the snide is going to break. I think the last time they were in this kind of situation, they went out there and they rolled a six against a real good Navin team. It was one of those nights when most everything went in. But if you look, and it bears looking at the statistics at some of these wins, they're not getting outshot. They are out shooting and out chancing the other teams. You know, Dawson LeBray's been real good. I mean, the goals against average less than three almost. And so, you know, like we said, somewhere in the middle,
it'll break eventually.
It will, I think so. They're a good enough team. I think they will score, even if they have to score through committee.
We'll take our first break and be back with more Junior Hockey Talk on Lake 88.
Your friends might not notice how dirty your air ducts are, but you know. You need the air duct and dryer vent cleaning service from Carlton Refrigeration, Heating, and Air Conditioning. They use the RotoBrush system to free your ducts of allergens and irritants. Even though your friends might never say, "I love what you've done with your air ducts," you'll know and you'll breathe easier. Find out how at CarltonRefrigeration.com.
Carlton Refrigeration, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your comfort specialist.
New autumn apparel is arriving at Conway's Menswear in Perth. This season, it's all about cozy comfort. Check out their cool and sleek leather jackets and sophisticated wool blend overcoats by Viella. See no iron sports shirts in a variety of prints, shackets in flannel and corduroy, ideal for everyday wear. And browse Loy's stretch pants, available in an array of seasonal colors. Fall is in the air at Conway's Menswear, 45 Gore Street East in Perth. And find Conway's on Facebook and Instagram.
This is the Classic Cruise, brought to you by Perth Power Sports and Marine.
It is not the Classic Cruise. It's Junior Hockey Talk.
I was just about to break out my guitar.
I know. I was wondering where Dave was. Anyways, we are now joined by Brent Sullivan, the owner and general manager of the Carleton Blaze Canadiens. How's it going tonight, Brent?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good. It's good to talk to you again, Sully. It hasn't been exactly as the story was written. In Carleton Place, they've been struggling the last 2-3 weeks. A lot of different issues, I guess. From your point of view, and I know you've been keeping a close eye on what's going on from a distance, tell us what the problems are and how you're looking to maybe fix them.
Yeah, it's there's no denying that it's been a frustrating start for our group, and especially considering the expectations that we had early on. Like, this is a group that we felt was built to be able to go deep into May, and so it's a bit frustrating here. And you know, as far as a list of things that are wrong, you know, it's a long list, and I think that there is, you know, some accountability issues within that room with the players. I think, you know, from a productivity standpoint, some guys are producing offensively but not responsible defensively, and at the end of the day, you know, we had the second worst goals against in the league, and you know, our goalies are struggling. Let's call a spade a spade. So it's a long list. It's been frustrating here, and you know, there'll be some substantial changes prior to tomorrow night. But what we're looking for is a clean slate here and an opportunity to move forward.
You know, I had an opportunity to see, I guess, maybe both the best and the worst of your hockey team in the same weekend a couple of weeks ago, and they really weren't a factor in Smiths Falls. One night got beat pretty bad, allowed 8 goals, and then it was like it was a genesis. You know, a day and a half later, you beat Smiths Falls, who hadn't even lost anybody by that time. So this is junior hockey. I know it's unpredictable, but how can that be? How can you be so bad and then be so good?
Well, it's funny you said that this is junior hockey, because I've thought about that at times. I thought about, you know, it's the inconsistencies of this age group, or, you know, the ups and downs of this league. And, you know, but at the end of the day, there's teams right now that are on a roll, and we are not one of them. So it's frustrating for us as a group, because the consistency factor is more so about mindset. It's more so about your preparation. It's not about ability. You know, you can't look in that room and be like, okay, our players just aren't good enough. And if that's the case, then that's my fault as a GM. But we're looking at those guys and saying, no, this group is good enough. It's just preparation. It's mindset. It's attention to detail. It's sacrifice, commitment. I could keep going here. And so, like I said, there'll be some pretty substantial changes prior to tomorrow night. And our goal is to right this ship immediately. We cannot continue down this road.
Yeah, and did you want to highlight what some of those changes are going to be before puck drop tomorrow?
No, we'll wait a bit for tomorrow. I think it's the right thing to do. But, you know, I think from a roster standpoint, we've made a couple changes, obviously, last week with, you know, some additions. You know, one of them obviously being familiar to your guys' area, and Leighton McLean there. And, you know, I think when Leighton's in a good spot with some good players, he puts a puck in a net 9 times out of 10. So we're hoping that he's a guy that can help. You know, we're going to get some healthy bodies back, and Jace Benby's ready to go. Noah Varga's ready to go. And, you know, what you're hoping is just a good week of work from the guys. They're able to right this ship, and, you know, we'll deal with what the actual changes are tomorrow. But, you know, there's, I don't want to call it pressure, but there are expectations with this group. And, you know, this kind of pressure is a privilege, because this is a special team that right now is underperforming.
One of the things that I think we're all starting to learn about this league is whether you're 12-0 or you're 0-12, you can't take a night off. Just you cannot take a night off. There's a lot of good hockey players, and particularly every team seems to have that one or two game breakers. And, you know, this, I think the overall depth of the league is showing through. I mean, we had a team take off and couldn't win a game for the life of itself for a month, and a team that couldn't lose, and all of a sudden things have tightened right back up again. I think this speaks more to the parity in the league than probably many people think.
Yeah, and we had a lot of conversations regarding that exact topic last year, too, because I felt the parity in the league last year was great. There were nights that we would go in and you know, have a nose-to-nose battle with OJS, who had only lost a handful of games, and then, you know, we'd come home and we would lose to, you know, Nepean, or we would lose to Pembroke. Actually, I don't think we lost to Pembroke last year. But it would be a tight game. And, you know, I think what's happening here is that it's continuing on to this year, which is really good. And it's that accountability with the guys, and you have to show up every night. If you don't show up, well, you're going to be on the wrong end of it. And I think that's something that this league has not always had. There's always been a couple teams that are a bit of a wagon, and now it's a little bit more so spread out. And it's good for the league and just holds these guys more accountable.
After spending some time in Major Junior, what's the biggest difference between the two leagues?
Well, you know, there's some pretty good players in our league, that's for sure. You know, you think about it, like, let's talk, for instance, about Caden Ryan. So Caden Ryan's a guy that right now is on the NHL watch list, Division I commit to Clarkson. The difference, I think, of the OHL is there's a bunch of Caden Ryans on every team. And so just that high-end skill, that ability to execute, you know, you're dealing with first-round NHL picks on any given night. And so I think that's the difference, is just the high-end skill. In saying that, too, there's a lot of differences with travel. There's differences with, you know, the environments you go into in the road rinks. You're playing in the, you know, the Kitchener Odd, or you're going into London and on a Friday night, and it's just different circumstances. In saying that, you know, there's some good players in our league. I've said that for a while, and you know, I definitely think about that when I'm at that level.
And it's sort of going back to your inconsistency comment earlier. You know, Carlton Place, they started off the season so strong, and now it's been, you know, 5 in a row and 8 in the last 10. You haven't found ways to win. So have those reasons been identified? I know you mentioned goaltending hasn't been a strong suit, which isn't a familiar place for Carlton Place. You know, the Canadians usually have really strong goaltending. So what are some of the areas of improvement you think you've identified?
Well, prior to getting to structural changes, even just talking about the players, so, you know, I actually think we have two very good goalies. And, you know, Jackson Pundick, any given night, can solely win a game. And, you know, Ian Vandenberg is a great compliment to him and should push him for starts and can be a starter in this league. They're not playing up to their ability. And you can go up and down the lineup with that kind of a thought process and just say that, listen, there are guys right now that are not playing to their capabilities and, you know, too many passengers on given nights. And saying that, there's also a lack of commitment, I think, to the structure side of things. You know, more small details. You know, I've watched a lot of the games from a distance and you know, details like stopping on pucks, drifting away from things, lack of finishing checks. Lack of discipline, we're one of the most penalized teams in the league. So there's a lot of factors, I think, to fall into play here. But, again, the changes that will be made, I think what's important is that it's a bit of a fresh start for some guys. But also there's accountability. Like this is on the players right now. They know what they need to do, and hopefully they're able to right this ship starting tomorrow.
And was that sort of line of thinking what you were thinking about when you went out and you grabbed Leighton McLean and Chase Pacheco, was to sort of just inject some fresh life into the team?
Yeah, and it's to give a different look, and it's no shot to Dylan Pollock and Thomas Dickey. Those were two guys who were very loyal to our organization, and you know, Tommy was a guy that came out through the U18 ranks, so was Paulie. Paulie spent some junior B time. And, you know, it was also to maybe give them a different look because, you know, regardless of our not very good start, we are very deep up front. So those guys were buried a bit in situations where, you know, maybe on other rosters they get a bigger look. So, you know, it's a shake-up opportunity. It's an opportunity to sometimes get guys a little out of their comfort zone, knowing that, there is a side to this game that is tough, and that's trades, and you got to show up every night. And you know, what was difficult was the next game was another loss to OJS, and so we'll see what happens here. Obviously, the OJS game, you know, the shots were in our favor, but at the end of the day, when you're allowing north of five every night, you're not going to win hockey games.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll let you go, and good luck this weekend.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There goes Brent Sullivan of the Carleton Place Canadiens.
Changes.
Yeah, changes. So, yeah, some shakeups, as he mentioned. And we'll see if they work, because this team has been struggling right now. And as he mentioned, you know, the goaltending hasn't been great. And Carleton Place has been known as an organization to pump out goaltenders. Hello, Devin Levi on the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, of course, I follow this team closely, doing their play-by-play. And I've been watching the last few weeks. Like, they've been throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks in terms of roster shakeups. Like, their six defensemen last week, they were all changed up. You know,
yeah.
Cooper and Coulter have been on the line, a pairing together all year. They were split up. Owen Brady, standalone defenseman, was up with Mason Cully, who was a big offensive guy. Like, they've been switching it up just to see if something's worked, and nothing has.
Well, it's the tale of two cities when we talk about the two teams that we cover in this league. If there has been anything that has been consistent in Smiths Falls, has been their defense, which has been really, really good. From 1-6, their defense has been great, particularly Wasmer, who, for my money, is the best defenseman in the league. He's already got a scholarship locked up to Maine. And it's interesting, when they lost last Friday night to Pembroke, and the one that seemed to take it the hardest, I know they're all disappointed that they lost, but, you know, Wasmer had some great eight chances. He hit a post, missed an open net, stuff like that. He seems to be the guy that the sun sets and rises on that team. Although he's not the captain, I think he's kind of the unspoken leader of that hockey team, and I think that's a lot to say for a kid that's still an 18-year-old.
Yeah, and to go back to the Canadiens for a second, just taking a look at their goals fours differential, you know, they have 65 goals scored. That's second most in the league. That's ahead of Smiths Falls. One ahead,
yeah,
of Smiths Falls.
Yeah.
But they've allowed 80, which is a league worst outside of Brockville, who is 1-14. So, you know, that's not sustainable, and it's proven. You know, the ice has shifted, and they have to find a ways to get it back.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's the oldest saying in sport: defense wins championships. And and that's unusual, because Carleton Place in the past has always had a history of great goaltending and great defense too. I mean, it's always been kind of it's kind of like Death Valley going in there and trying to win in Carleton Place in that small rink, because they've always had big guys, physical defensemen, who've been able to control the corners in that small rink. Not so much. This is maybe a little bit of an anomaly for them, you know, but you know, a couple of weeks ago, you and I were all giddy talking about the two teams that we covered and how good they were.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying to Pat. You know, it's such a cruel thing, this sport of hockey, because,
it is.
You know, they were number one in the country, and now they can't buy a goal.
Yeah, that's right. And you and I were jumping up and down thinking, yeah, we've got a good thing going here. But, you know, I still think we have a good thing going. I still think these are two pretty good hockey teams, and I think when it all shakes out, they'll probably be up near the top of the standings.
Yeah, it'll be a real litmus test for the Canadiens this weekend. They got a home-and-home against Navin, who are 11-3, so it'll be a real interesting to see what those changes bring, if any.
And that's funny, that Navin team is... they're probably one of the more complete teams. Look at their stats, goals for and against. They're a top-notch team, and they've got some real good veterans on that team. Some of those guys that have been around for a long, long time. So, yeah, that's a well-coached team, too. Marty Abrams has got those guys playing pretty well.
Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of Junior Hockey Talk. On behalf of Terry Shea, I'm Grant Demme. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.